This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Music is such a large part of our lives, we have to think it was important in the past, to the ancients as well. And while we may have some lyrics to ancient music, the Psalms come to mind, it's a little more challenging to imagine how the music sounded. A while back, a CD was released called Ancient Echoes, and we devoted a series of interviews to the CD, calling it The Archaeology of Music. In this, the second program of that series, we continue our conversation with Christopher Moroni, discussing the unique group that recorded this music, the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble, otherwise known as SAVE.
SAVE was formed in 1989 from a group of singers that were in the San Antonio Symphony Chorus. My wife, Kavita, and I were members of that chorus. The group was formed to have a small vocal ensemble join the early music ensemble here in San Antonio, which is an instrumental ensemble, for a Christmas concert. And so we formed a small group to perform with the early music ensemble, and the music that we did was music from Latin America in the 1500s and 1600s, and also from Spain. From there, we decided to keep the group going, and initially we were an a cappella group without instruments at all. But everyone in the group also played an instrument of some kind. Little by little, we added instruments. First it was percussion, and then, well, now with Ancient Echoes, there are many more instruments than there are singers in the group, and everybody plays a number of instruments. And that's how that evolved, just out of our own desire to have more than just the a cappella singing.
How many people are in the group?
There are 7 in the group now. We originally started with 8. And it's not the same group of people because, you know, people have jobs that take them away or for whatever reason they leave the group. And so we're now 7 people. We're pretty solid with that 7. And we always, from the beginning, were interested in doing early music, although we have done many, many different styles of music right up into the 20th century.
Do you intend to continue doing the what we might call the biblical music? Are you going to do another recording, or do you plan to go in a different direction in the future?
Right now we have plans for another recording based on the Middle Eastern biblical, because we have invested so much time in learning the languages and the instruments and researching the history. There's just so much more to do before moving on to another project, so that we will stay in this field at least for one more CD.
What has been the impact on you and your wife personally from this project? Has it been a spiritual project?
Yes, it has. As I mentioned before, the translations that Neil Douglas Klotz made of the words and sayings of Jesus based on the roots, the Semitic roots of Aramaic, are quite profound, and they go into a completely new level. Just a quick example, the King James Version of the Bible is English translated from Greek, and the Greek is not a Semitic root language, and neither is English. Those are Indo-Eurasian root languages. So when we have a word like our Father in heaven, just take the word heaven. Heaven in English comes from a Middle English root, heaven, which means vault. So we would think of a heaven as, you know, the vault of the sky is basically what that's referring to. So when we think of heaven coming from our root system, our Indo-Eurasian root system, we're thinking of the sky. We're thinking heaven is somewhere up there in the vault. If you go back to the Aramaic or Hebrew or Arabic, they're all Semitic root languages, and you look at the word for heaven, it is Shemaya, and Shem, that root means light, sound, vibration, or name. When you add Aya to it, Shemaya, it means that light, sound, vibration, and name, which is at the center of all things. So heaven, when you look at the Aramaic or Semitic roots, is a much different concept than heaven it is in English or Greek. Heaven is no longer somewhere up in the sky. It is the light and vibration and name that is at the center of all things. So in the Aramaic prayer, if you're saying our Father, or even in Aramaic, it's more like our creator parent, who is at, whose name, whose light, whose vibration is at the center of all things. It's quite a different concept than a man in the sky or a male parent in the sky. And this kind of way of interpreting Semitic languages works for Arabic, for Hebrew, and for Aramaic. So there's a whole world of new possibilities of understanding the sacred texts from all of the traditions of these Middle Eastern traditions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, based on studying the roots, the original Semitic roots, and those meanings.
So it sounds like you're really enjoying this.
Very much so, and the rest of the group as well. I mean, we really have gotten a lot out of it. And when we give these concerts, this information is in the program notes so that the people hearing the concert are understanding what it is they're hearing. And I believe that's part of why people are enjoying this and getting so much out of it.
Our guest on today's program is Christopher Maroney of the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble, discussing what amounts to a project in the archaeology of music, looking at the music of the biblical world of 2,000 years ago. He uses a number of sources for this music, including some quite well known to Bible scholars and archaeologists, such as the one we're going to hear today, Ra'anu.
Ra'anu comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And this is something I really had wanted to do, was to find a text from the Dead Sea Scrolls to be on this recording. Most scholars believe that the Dead Sea Scrolls were written by the Essenes, which was a sectarian group of Jews, some of which moved out into the desert in Qumran as a protest against the established religious authority in Jerusalem. And this particular text was found in Qumran, out in the desert in one of the caves in 1947. And the text talks about singing with the angels in the presence of God. It's a very mystical kind of a text, and it's not something that one would imagine the Essenes actually singing the way you would hear it on the recording. The way we arranged it for the recording was almost as if it were an Essene vision of experiencing this in some ecstatic state, experiencing being in the presence of angels and singing in the presence of God, which is highly likely that the Essenes were having these kinds of visions given their very ascetic kind of lifestyle and diet, and they actually were having visions. So this particular piece, Ra'anu, is trying to convey the idea of what an Essene vision would be, singing in the presence of God.
So this is based on a document, not scripture, but a document connected with the Qumran community.
Exactly.
And is it a hymn of some kind that has been identified as that?
It's from a group of documents called Songs of the Sabbath Sacrifice, or it's sometimes known as the Angelic Liturgy. These would be for each Sabbath of the year. There was a song which were very much like this. They were describing these ecstatic visions or of being in the presence of the angels. So what the Essenes were doing on the Sabbath was something of a very mystical nature, something quite different. It would appear from these texts something different than what was being done, say, at the temple.
We live on.
listening to Rananu, a 2,000-year-old song from the Dead Sea Scrolls. This song and more like it are available on a CD called Ancient Echoes from the San Antonio Vocal Arts Ensemble. Our guest on today's program, Christopher Maroney, is the artistic director of the ensemble. For a link to their website and other resources on biblical archaeology, we invite you to go to our website at radioscribe.com. You can also contact us by sending an email to scribe@broadcast.net. The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. Once again, our website is radioscribe.com. Thanks for tuning in. We invite you back next time for another Backgrounder on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.